or on your smart devices. Our scripture this morning is going to come from the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at the 62nd verse. Matthew 27, beginning at the 62nd verse, I'll read through to Matthew 28 and the 8th verse. This text will encompass what I'm about to have a conversation with you today. I'm praying that this text fills our conversation and God is able to give to you what he wants you to have in this day. That's the gospel take according to St. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 62 through verse 28, through chapter 28 and verse 8. Are you with me? Nobody is saying that. Here's some relief still coming.
Amen, amen.
That's all right. I'm going to pray. You should be fine if I pray, man. Can we pray? Amen. Oh, Lord of God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father God, it's once again, it's another time that we stand behind this holy rock to proclaim your word. Yes. Father God, we need a word from you.
Yes.
And without a word from you, what would we do? Father God, we're glad that you told us that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. So, Father God, that's why we need a rhema word, one tailor-made fit by circumstance and situation at this time. Father God, we can't understand it or preach it or teach it by ourselves. So we ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to come in and exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry. Right now, in the name of Jesus, anoint every seat in the place.
Yes.
Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Make this word plain enough so that a child can understand it. Oh, Father God, use me in spite of me. Hide me behind the cross. Show up for us again, oh Father. You never failed us before. Don't fail us now. Father God, right now, have your way with your people.
Yes.
Bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people.
Yes.
Father God, let this word fall on good ground right now. Give us a good time in your Father God. Allow me to preach, oh Father God, till heaven gets happy and hell gets upset. Speak, Lord, for your people hear it. And James, while I'm reading the text, the mics that have on and off switches, turn them off for me, please. I can avoid some of the feedback. Okay, Matthew chapter 27. Begin at verse 62. Heed the words of the Lord. I'll be reading to you from the New King James Version. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priest and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, After 3 days I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and to say to the people, He has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. You got Matthew chapter 28, now beginning verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. That makes me shout by myself. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. I want you to look at your neighbor and share this message with them as you take your seats. It's not over yet.
It's not over yet.
Take your seats in the presence of the Lord. It's not over yet. Friday has passed. Jesus has been crucified. The pulse of the body was taken. The toe tag was written. He's dead. His bloody and bruised, lifeless corpse is pulled down off the cross at the request of the Pharisee Nicodemus, who was a secret follower of Jesus and a wealthy man by the name of Joseph Arimathea. Nicodemus and Joseph buried the body of Jesus in a tomb that was borrowed from Joseph. In the old school Baptist tradition that I was raised in, we were taught that Jesus was put in a borrowed tomb because he did not plan on keeping it locked. With the burial and the death of Jesus, things are seemingly settling down in Jerusalem. Law and order has been maintained. Peace exists once again. The riot has been avoided. Pilate's job is secure. The priests have their privileges back. Things are getting back to normal. And all it took was the death of one man on the cross. His disciples are now in hiding in Jerusalem because they are afraid that the same Pilate that killed their leader will soon seek after them to be certain that this Jesus thing is over. But for the priests and the Pharisees, the issue is not the disciples. They have a bigger problem on their mind. And they remember this threat is not done because Jesus is dead. For you see, the priests and the Pharisees remember while Jesus was alive, he prophesied that if you destroy this temple, in 3 days I will rise again. The Pharisees and priests seem to remember what disciples have forgotten. And that is that it ain't over yet. Just because Jesus is dead. So they convene a meeting with Pilate, saying something has to be done to be certain that there's no rumor of a resurrection. Because they know that if we thought we had a problem with a miracle working, water walking, water to wine Jesus, how much more will we have trouble if word gets out that this fellow survived a crucifixion? Their fear is not that Jesus will rise from the dead.
Well,
they have dismissed that. Their fear is that the disciples will steal the body.
Yeah.
If the body is stolen, it sets off a chain of events. If the body is stolen, somebody's going to say he rose from the dead. And if someone says he rose from the dead, someone else is going to believe he really was the Messiah.
Amen.
And that deception will be greater than he really was the first time. So they understand if this body goes missing, this Jesus thing is going to get worse.
Yes, yes.
So they convene a meeting with Pilate on Saturday morning.
Come on now.
And they say to Pilate, listen, we have to lock down that tomb. Because if we can't just hold out until Monday morning, we can show his body and prove that he did not get up like he said. He would, and then this thing about him, this Jesus thing they got going, it'll be over. All we got to do is make it from Saturday to Monday.
All right, come on now.
If we can make it to early Monday morning, the Jesus story is done. They go to Pilate because they believe that Pilate, acting with Roman authority, can make certain this body goes nowhere. With Roman power, Pilate can be certain that nobody says he rose from the dead. With Roman power, Pilate can be certain that no one believes he is the Messiah.
Yeah.
Because all they have to do is lock the tomb down.
Yeah.
For 48 hours, that's all they got to do. Show the body on Monday, and it's all over.
That's right.
They go to Pilate with the request. Pilate gives the command that the tomb should be secured. Because if Pilate speaks, it surely nobody will go against Pilate.
Amen.
Pilate says to them, you got it. Have your way. Lock the tomb down.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what he says. Pilate says, do everything you know how to make it secure. So we can put an end to this Jesus thing. The Bible tells me, y'all, the Pharisees and the priests under the authority of Pilate go to the tomb and they seal it up in three ways. Are you still with me?
Yes.
First way, they roll a stone in front. The stone is meant to make certain nobody goes in and nobody comes out. Two, they put a seal around the stone. The seal was a sign of Pilate's authority. Roman power. As if Pilate had taken his signet ring and pressed it on the seal around the tomb. So that anyone that came by knows that Pilate said, this stone is not to be moved. The Roman governor has given an issue and a decree that nobody in and nobody out. Because Pilate has shut this thing down. Three, to make sure the stone and the seal were obeyed, some soldiers were placed outside. Sign of military might, Roman rule. Because we are going to shut this resurrection stuff up. A stone, a seal, and some soldiers. Because Pilate said, Jesus' body will not come out of that tomb. Surely nobody has more authority than Pilate. But Sunday morning.
All right.
Yeah. Come to find out that above the Pharisees, above the priests, and above Pilate, there's another authority.
Yeah.
That operates on earth.
That
can undo anything that Pilate said should not be done.
Uh-huh.
They found out that there is a God who's able
yes.
to do exceedingly
yes.
and abundantly
yes.
above everything they thought could happen.
Yes.
And this God showed up.
Yes, Jesus.
Now we don't know when, but my BTU and my Christian education upbringing taught me that it was sometime between sunset on Saturday, Sister Thomas, and early Sunday morning. They come to find out that Jesus has been resurrected.
Yes.
Now the term, can Pastor teach you somebody?
Yes.
Now the term resurrected in the Bible is a Greek term. Anastasia. So you can learn some Greek. The prefix ana means again. Anna means again. Stasius is a verb which means to stand.
Yes. All right.
So Anastasia, resurrection is just not literally a resuscitation of the dead.
Uh-huh.
No. Anastasia, resurrection, literally is a reference, watch me, church, to someone who has been knocked down, but gets back up again. Yeah. Help me, Holy Ghost, to contain myself. Yeah. Someone who has been shut down and decides they're not going to be shut down no more. Someone that has been quieted and decides they're going to open their mouth again. The resurrection is the continuation of the rebellion and the radicality and the revolutionary message of Jesus Christ. That in the resurrection, God is saying to Pilate, the Pharisees and the priests, you can't stop what God is doing. You can't kill the movement of God. You can't control this. You can't limit this. You can nail him to a cross and God will still work. You can put him in a tomb and God still has all the authority. You can put a stone in front of it and God still can outdo all of that. No matter what they have done to you, you have a God that is able to resurrect you and give you strength and power. God is saying it's not over yet. As a matter of fact, watch how God proves it's not over yet. Watch how he proves it, church. You will look and see the number one desire as you look at the text of the priests and the Pharisees when they went to Pilate was they wanted to maintain possession of the body. As long as we have possession of his body, we can shut down any rumor of resurrection. Because whenever somebody says he's alive, watch me, y'all, all we have to do is take them to this museum. Show them the dead body on display. And prove that Jesus is still dead. As long as we have his body. There will be no more Jesus talk. So they have a problem on Sunday morning. Because on Sunday morning, the body is not where they left it. The only explanation they can come up with is the disciples have stolen the body. I need you to see the ignorance and fallacy of this argument. Because the priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate and said, give us some soldiers. Didn't they? So the disciples can't steal the body. Then when the body is gone, you want us to go back to Pilate and tell them the disciples stole the body while you were not looking. If you don't know what this is, it is the proverbial throwing somebody under the bus. We got the soldiers to keep the disciples from stealing the body. Now we are to say some disciples who were scared for their life, hiding in some upper room, fishermen from Galilee, with no weapons among them, have sneaked into the cemetery, overpowered some Roman soldiers, took the body overnight. Nobody see nothing? They have to account for the body. Now there are external, actual biblical sources, Sister Field, that say once they find out that the body is missing, they put an APB out in Jerusalem. The Pharisees have to find this body. Where have the disciples hidden the body? We have to find the dead body of Jesus, because if we find the dead body, this Jesus thing gonna be over. There's always been a search for Jesus' body. Now, church, my brothers and sisters, what's strange about this is this. Can you walk it past just a little bit?
Come on now.
Time and history have a way of uncovering everything we thought was hidden. You give historians and archaeologists some time and they will find just about everything. Y'all with me? They have found the Rosetta Stone, which allows us to decipher hieroglyphics. We found the tomb of King Tutankhamun and all his riches. We have found the ash-covered city of Pompeii after the eruption of the Ausbus in 79 AD. We have found the lost city of Troy to confirm some of Greek mythology. We have found the Dead Sea Scrolls from the Cameron community. We have found the bones of dinosaurs that used to roam over the earth.
Yes.
We have found the Australopithecus bones of Lucy to verify some of Darwin's revolutionary theory.
Uh-huh.
We have even found the Titanic on the bottom of the ocean floor. But the one thing that has never been found are the remains of a dead Jesus. Could you imagine the party that would break out in hell if the dead body of Jesus was discovered? Do you know how much joy Satan would have if he could take you to a museum and show you the crucified remains of Jesus? Every Bible will have to be burned. Every church would have to be shut its doors. We would be what Paul said, the most miserable of all people. But let me tell you why the dead body of Jesus has never been found.
Come on now.
Because there is no dead body to be found. For he is not dead, but he is alive, as he said he would be. I wish I was at an old school Baptist church, Sister Thomas, where the musician would lead in the resurrection song. I serve a risen Savior.
Yeah.
He's in the world today.
Yeah.
I know that he is risen.
Yeah.
Whatever men may say.
Yeah.
Oh, if he didn't know that one, he would say, he lives.
He lives.
He lives.
He lives.
Christ Jesus lives today.
Yeah.
He walks with me.
Yeah.
And talks with me.
Yeah.
Along that narrow way. I know that I know that I know. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. Well, there's no body to be found. The Lord has resurrected Jesus. Look at what God did to do it. And then I'm going to prove to you that it's not over yet. There's a seal that God removes. There's a stone that God rolls away. There's some soldiers that God restrains. God sees the seal and says, I don't care what Pilate say. God sees the stone and says, I don't care what obstacles are in my way.
Yes.
God sees some soldiers and say, I don't care what enemies say, I can't do it.
Wow.
When I decide to move, I will break some rules.
Alrighty.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
I will move some obstacles.
Yes.
I will handle some opposition.
Yeah.
I came to prove to you it ain't over yet. Because God is still breaking rules. Still moving obstacles. And God is still dealing with your opposition. There's some people here right now know that God breaks some rules to bless you. That God gave you what you should not have. God put you where you should not be. God delivered to you what you did not earn. You can sit there acting like you dead and not lie. But you, what? Help me, Holy Ghost. Let me preach to myself. Is there anybody? He will know that God broke some rules when he favored me. Somebody like me should not be living like I'm living. But God, not only did he break some rules, he moved some obstacles. I wish I would have somebody that said, God made a way.
God made a way.
Made a way out of nowhere.
Yes.
Nowhere.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Uh huh.
Thank you.
You can't stop what God is doing.
Uh-huh.
Not only did the Pharisees and the priests, watch this now, wanted to make sure the remains were not removed, but watch this, they wanted to be certain that they prevented the proclamation of his resurrection.
Yes. Yes.
They wanted to know about it.
Oh my God.
They know what is going to happen if folk get out there talking about he is risen.
All right.
We're going to have another riot on our hands.
Uh-huh.
Because if he is risen after we crucify him, what are we going to do with him now?
Jesus.
If you survive the worst, church, they can do to you.
Yes.
I got some folk that know they did everything they knew how to do to me to stop me. But God allowed me to survive anyhow.
What you say? My name was scandalized.
Yes.
My name was in the rumor mill.
Yes.
I've been sick as a dog.
Yes.
I'm testifying for somebody. And God brought me through all of that.
That's right.
So you want to prevent the proclamation that Christ has risen from the dead.
Yes.
It is funny when the women get to the tomb because brothers didn't go.
Yes.
I'm not going to preach that sermon. That's a whole nother sermon.
Yeah.
Thank God for some faithful sisters in the ministry.
Yeah. Yeah.
We complain about you women, Sister Thomas. But we can't live without you.
Yeah.
And God can't either. Thank God for y'all. When the sisters get to the tomb, listen to this. The angel only gives them one assignment.
Come on now.
Listen, he says, when you leave from here, I want you to tell everybody that he's risen.
Yes.
Not anybody, everybody. That Christ is risen like he said.
Yes.
Watch this. The resurrection connects what he said was going to happen and what has actually happened.
Yes.
Y'all, what y'all want?
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Here's the power of the resurrection of Jesus. It validates every promise God has made.
Yes.
Y'all got that?
Yes.
It's just not a resurrection. That's a miracle, yeah.
Yes.
But it validates every promise, every word in the Bible.
Yes.
If he can resurrect, he can do all the rest of the stuff. It secures every word God has given that in the resurrection, I can have faith in everything that God said he would do. If God said it, God will do it. If God promised it, God will perform it. If God foretold it, God will fulfill it.
Yes.
If God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yes.
All I have to do, Deacon Greg, is trust and watch God do what he said he would do.
Yes.
Here's where it gets deep now. Pilate gave a word saying the body should not go nowhere. And Pilate's word did not mean nothing. Jesus said, I'm going to rise in 3 days.
Yes.
What Jesus says is actually what happens.
Yes.
Pilate has authority, but his word falls short.
That's it.
Jesus makes a promise, and his word never fails. What you said. I'm going to give you the easiest amen in the sermon. I'm trying to get out of your way. I got good news and bad news, Sister Nita. The bad news is you can't trust, Sister Fear, what people say.
That's right.
Somebody ought to be old enough in life to know you can't trust what everybody tells you.
That's right.
But here's some shouting good news.
All right.
You can take my God.
Uh-huh.
And his word.
Yeah.
Whatever God said he can do, he's able to do that in your life. He's able to work all things together for my good. He's able to take the weeping of my night and bring joy to me in the morning. He's able to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He's able, y'all. Sandra, we have the collateral for every promise God has made. How do I know that he'll never leave me nor forsake me?
Hallelujah.
Because Jesus lives.
Way back in the book of Genesis, when Adam messed up and him and Eve
got expelled, kicked to the curb out of the Garden of Gethsemane. God made a quote. He said that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent.
Yes.
From that day, Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, was planning their entrance back into the life of man.
Yes.
Y'all hear me? He allowed the children to go captive in Egypt. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
And then he had to make Moses go and say, let my people go. Yes. Moses was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ coming into the life of his people and setting them free from any situation or circumstance they were in. Are y'all feeling me? He showed it to them through the children of Israel, and he did it with a mighty powerful hand.
Yeah.
So now let's just fast forward this thing. He came down through 42 generations.
Yeah. 42.
For 2,000 years ago.
Yes, sir.
And he came to a virgin called Mary.
Come on now.
Can I preach it like my daddy taught me?
Yeah.
A virgin never knew a man. The Immaculate Conception.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
He put her in his womb.
Uh-huh.
His blood was the perfect blood. It was not Joseph's blood.
No, sir.
The Holy Ghost
overshadowed
her. Can I get a witness in here? Oh, I can preach that there all by myself.
Uh-huh.
And he overshadowed her and she became pregnant. God, I just do what I do. Just follow my story.
Yes.
He said that and she gave birth to a baby called Jesus.
Yes.
Emmanuel.
Yes.
God with us.
Yes.
Can I get a witness here?
Yes.
And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
Yes.
And laid him in a manger.
Yes.
Because that's what the prophet Joel said would happen.
Yes.
The prophet Joel said, Bethlehem, oh Bethlehem, how great is your city limits. Can I get a witness here? And he grew up. He walked the earth. Nicole, 30-something years.
Yeah.
He didn't have to wait that long to go to the cross. He could have jumped right out of Mary's belly and jumped right on the cross.
Yeah.
But Sandra, he wanted to see how me and you got to live life.
Yeah.
The Bible says we do not have a high priest that is not sympathetic to the stuff we got to go through.
Yeah.
So he walked the earth 30-something years.
Yeah.
Changed water into wine right now. I would like to be in that part. There's been some good wine in that part. What you say? Heal the sick.
Yeah.
Raise the dead.
Yeah.
Open blinded eyes.
Yeah.
No, you feeling me?
Yeah.
He walked into a graveyard one day.
Yeah.
Called Lazarus, Deacon Drake.
Yeah.
He called Lazarus specifically for a reason.
Yeah.
The Bible says words are so powerful.
Yeah.
As he would not have called Lazarus by name. The bodies in the graveyard. What a God about the graveyard.
Yeah.
But I like that because that means Randy, he got a blessing with my name on it.
Yeah.
Just me, not for you, for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But he headed his way to Jerusalem. He didn't want to go because he knew that was the way to the cross. He goes to Jerusalem. Goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that old lying devil Judas betrayed him. But it had to be so. He did no wrong. Had no sin. Can I get a witness on that? He was a perfect sacrifice. He asked his father in the garden. He said, Father, can you let this cup pass from me? But he came back to his spiritual self and said, not my will. I'm going to let your will be done. Can I get a witness here? I pray that God give me a Jesus-like mindset, bro. That when I don't want to do something and I feel I can't go any further, I can break down and pray and say, Father, not my will, but let your will be done. Can I get a witness up in here? They took him to Pilate. They sentenced him to death.
Yeah.
They beat my Jesus all night long. They whipped him all night long. He said not a mumbling word. How can you be the King of Kings? Lord of Lords? You threw the world's out of your hand. What is man that you are so mindful of us? That you submitted yourself to the torture and brutality of crucifixion just so you can redeem it back to you.
They did it. And he took his cross up to Calvary, Golgotha. But can I put a note in there for some brothers and sisters? Simon the Cyrene, a brother, helped Jesus carry his cross up to Calvary. He got on the cross. Now watch this now. And they nailed him to the cross. Cross made by a tree, Sister Celia, that Jesus planted. Nails they put in his hand from the iron that he put in the earth. Killed by some soldiers that he allowed to be born anyway. Can I get a witness in here? But he didn't later because he could not get up. The Bible tells me that love would kept him on the cross. It was love, God will feel me, that hell let him stay there. They stretched him wide, hung him high, and he picked him up. Y'all ain't feeling me. And he said he hung there until the ninth hour. Can I get a vision? Can I preach it? That is the whole story. He hung there till the stars fell from the sky, until the moon turned to blood. But he hung there anyway. But in my sanctified imagination, in my theological study said, I want to know why he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Biblical scholars say at that point, the weight of the world and sin was on my Jesus' shoulder. And he felt so separated from his Father and the Holy Spirit that he cried out to his Father. Because guess what? Guess what? He cried out in that language. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He hung there. The Bible says his death was so powerful that all the graves, not of everyone, he said all the graves of holy people, Christians that died before Jesus, they got up out of their graves. How do you know they were in the grave? Because after they buried Jesus, those same people that were buried walked back into the city. Jesus said, you just see the premonition of what's about to happen with me. I'm going to lay in this grave Friday night. I'm going to lay in this grave Saturday night. But when I'm just not laying there watching Love, Young, and the Restless, I'm going to go down into hell and get the captives and catch the captives free. Y'all hear me? I'm going to go pick, slap, Satan. I'm going to take the sting out of death. Take power from the grave. Y'all ain't hearing me? He said that. And then I'm going to take them to heaven. He said, but I'm going to wait to early. Early Sunday morning. He was just my personal escort. Because no stone can hold back the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said that stone rolled back because they knew it was coming out. It ain't over yet. You're in a bad situation. There's nothing more hopeless than crucifixion. If Jesus come and Jesus said, I'll turn your situation around. He said, I'll fix what you're going through. He said, you just need to know how to wait on me. Wait till your change come, church. Come on, start to be a little patient. Then ask God to give you some staying power. He will fix it. He may not fix it like you want him to fix it, but he'll fix it real good. Y'all hearing me? It ain't over yet. I'm so glad that he died. I'm so glad, Sister Muffet, that he got up. I'm so glad that a wretch like me got a right and a privilege to preach the gospel, to approach God boldly, because he died for me. It ain't over yet. Put your hands in your side.